Welcome to the audio issue of Notables from Clarity Capital Management. This is Eric Thomas. Today, both principals of our firm, myself and Ryan, will provide listeners with an update to the recent volatility in the market this week, along with some hints on how to look at this activity from a historical perspective. Here is the audio version of our monthly newsletter called Notables. Keep the feedback coming. Actually, we had a request for music in the background this week, so hopefully we can get that together for the next Notables for the future. Unfortunately, this week we've been a little busy. Here's our discussion on our most recent issue. This recording was made on Friday, February 25th, 2022. Well, welcome. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Hey, Eric. Good. I feel like this has been like the longest week ever.
I know. It's Friday. It's sunny. For those listening today, I hope you're out in sunshine if you're in the sunny state of Oregon. Ryan also looks like he's ready for the weekend to start. So let's get right into it. This has been quite the week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it sure has. Kind of a sour week in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah, I think we're all feeling that sourness. Yeah, and why don't we just get that right off the back? We're gonna just give our warmest heartfelt thoughts for the country of Ukraine and what's going on there, and for anybody who's involved in that and have family or friends there. We have a lot of support for you all. So.
Yeah, hopefully that crisis comes to an end quickly.
So as we said in the written article, you know, there's so much news going on this week. We're all a little bit tired of just absorbing news, and we're going to try to stay away from that and just kind of back it up to more of a historical perspective in both the writing version and the audio version here. So we'll try to stick to kind of what we know and, you know, how to look at this moment from a historical perspective, and hopefully we'll keep it relatively light after all the news that we've heard this week.
Yeah, in addition to the news out of Ukraine, we've just seen a fair amount of market volatility reappear here again this year, and it's almost like it's kind of thrown people for a loop, like they're not used to it again, because it has been a pretty easy ride for the last year and a half or so since the pandemic started. So it seems like concerns have kind of cropped up again, you know, wondering around is, what do we do? Is this normal? And so that's what we wanted to chat more about.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think it's an important thing to think about too, there's a lot of stuff going on, and all of the feelings that we have about both the news of this week, but also from a historical perspective, we have a lot of news stuff happening, right? The pandemic is coming to an end. We have the Federal Reserve thinking about, tightening up on policy and increasing rates. We still have inflation. There's a lot going on. And to Ryan's point, what we wanted to focus on today is just to talk a little bit about how, although we feel like this is an abnormal time with all of these big headlines, that historically, what's happening in the market is actually perfectly normal. Is that right, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, let's maybe take a step back and say, okay, what's kind of causing some of this lately? What are the big things? Well, we have the obvious one this week, Ukraine. The less obvious one being the Federal Reserve and what's happening around rates and inflation, kind of causing a whole reset here around what do market valuations look like going forward, now that we expect rates to need to climb, just because we're all feeling that inflation pressure creep in on all the things that we buy these days. That's kind of probably the big one out there lately, resetting expectations around valuations and what that means going forward. And you kind of mix these things together with some geopolitical events, and you've got a pretty good recipe for some market volatility to creep in, maybe an excuse for selling to take place. Would you say that's probably pretty fair there, Eric?
Yeah, totally. The one of the big things I think we've talked a little bit about before is how, although we feel, you know, maybe beyond, you know, before the start of 2022, we feel like there's been a lot going on news-wise, but how historically, the last 2 years, you know, prior to kind of the recent couple of weeks, volatility has actually been relatively light. That on an average year, we expect to see a lot more volatility than we've seen in the last couple of years. So then when the markets have continued to go up and up and up and up, and also get more volatile and start to normalize like it has this year, it can feel really disconcerting, even though it could be completely normal.
Just doesn't feel normal because we haven't had it in a while, right? We forget what that feels like.
Right. And what's even more interesting, I think, is we have this recency bias where we think that the markets only goes up or kind of goes sideways for a minute and then goes up and then goes sideways and then goes up, which is kind of how it's been for the last 2 years. So when we start seeing that more up and down volatility, that's when we start to feel a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah. And usually these are coupled with events that make some headline risk, which makes them feel a little bit worrisome, right? There's something that typically causes it, right? And we're seeing one of those right now in the case of this conflict being out there. And most recently was the pandemic is another reason for that. So I think often they're paired with something that causes concern. And so just it feels a little bit more not normal because of what is generally paired with it. So for context, so Eric, we come with numbers, right? Do we typically see every 11 months? What's normal here?
Yeah, I actually thought that this number was a little high. I was actually surprised to see that number. And I've seen kind of some numbers like this kind of all over the place over the last, 3 to 6 months. But this is the interesting number. So on average, intra-year declines of the S&P 500, we see that on average to be about 14%. So that means on average, in the last 42 years, for whatever reason, they started in 1980, that we see on average a 14% decline, which means at one point during that year, we do expect that the S&P 500 on average drops at least 14%.
Right. And for context right now, as of today's market close, because we've had a few strong days here after yesterday's wacky market action and today's positive returns, we're only down about 8% in the S&P 500 this year. I think at its lows yesterday, we were approaching 11 or 12, I think. So, and put it another way too, we don't have this on the written notables, but I believe we see a 10% correction in the S&P every 11 months. That's the average. And guess what? We're past average. We haven't seen that for, almost 10 years now, or 10 years, excuse me, 2 years now. We've hardly even seen a 5% correction in the S&P over the past couple of years. It's been an easy ride for a while. So it's about time we catch up to average.
Right. So, it's funny, we can talk about numbers all day long, right? We can talk about how on average we would expect at least a 14% drop, but that doesn't make it any easier when it happens, right? It doesn't make it feel like we're not living in that period of volatility. And I think that that's a really important thing to note, is that we can all feel that way. It's totally natural to feel that way, but it's something that we have to know that historically, if we can kind of let it ride and stay the course to our plan, that's what's going to lead to the most success.
Yeah, exactly. And we've put some resource in the written notables this go around to kind of help illustrate some of those, that if we kind of hold our noses and ignore the noise and markets are resilient, they do come back, and they often come back in pretty strong ways. And oftentimes it doesn't take a real long time either. It certainly can. We've seen times where it has, but in a lot of instances of big one-day falls or even declines over multiple days, oftentimes those 1 year, 3 year, 5 year returns are actually quite strong. We just have to have patience and push through that. And why we talk about longer term investing and not focusing on what's happening today or tomorrow.
Yeah. I was talking about kind of the behavioral aspect of it. Again, this is kind of in the written article. So if you're reading and listening, you get to hear it twice. But, you know, if I remember feeling yesterday morning, and we had clients kind of texting and emailing and calling about kind of, you know, how we should be looking at this moment. And if we had sold yesterday at the worst time, Ryan, what would have happened?
Well, I just to expand on that a little bit, I remember watching the futures market on Wednesday night when the first of the attacks started. And I think futures were down, over 2%. You know, so expectation was market was going to open pretty low. And I think we did open on Thursday down around 2.5% on the S&P, and I think over 3% on the NASDAQ. So it was a pretty ugly open. But miraculously, for probably a lot of reasons, the market slowly inched its way back up. And man, oh man, it was like picking up steam by the close. We ended up finishing the day up 1.5%. So I think it was a whole round trip intraday move of about 4% on the S&P 500. That was a big move yesterday.
Yeah. So, and then the market again closed higher today, Friday. And so, you know, to that other point, if we had gone with our gut of wanting to sell when things felt really bad, that we would have, that move in the market represented about 6.5%. So it's just unbelievable to think about how at the low point, how we were feeling. And now we've come back for about 6.5% from that, which is pretty unbelievable. Even in a 2-day period, there could be that big of an impact to, you know, somebody's portfolio.
Big time. Yeah. Why we have to keep our emotions out of it. And, the past 2 days is such a great example of why keeping your emotions out of it and sticking to the plan and staying the course, because that would have been pretty impactful had a person just kind of given up and sold out because they weren't quite sure what was going to happen yesterday. In the course of 2 days, that's fast.
Right. So no more need to talk about that unless anybody has any questions. We're here to answer any questions about kind of the volatility this week. Let's talk a little bit about some of the, on the opportunity side of kind of how we handle a situation like that. Ryan, do you want to share a little bit about tax loss harvesting and what that looks like and kind of taking some of those opportunities when the market goes down a little bit?
Well, so we talk about staying the course, and generally we want to stick with our investment plan and not, you know, sell out of panic. That being said, there are some more tactical things that we can do that can be beneficial during bigger declines in markets. So tax loss harvesting being one of those, where if we have taxable accounts, we know that if we have realized capital losses, we get a deduct that on our tax return, or we can use those losses to offset any gains that we take. Well, times like, you know, this past week are a good time to look at tax loss harvesting, where we can sell a position, capture a loss, take the proceeds and immediately buy something somewhat similar. Can't be identical, but somewhat similar. That way we can stay fully invested the whole time and still participate on any subsequent rebound, but we do get to capture that loss and use that to write off on our tax or offset future gains. So it's something that's extremely valuable. We just have to make sure we do it correctly, because there are rules you have to follow. But yeah, that's tax loss harvesting, and it is beneficial and something to look at during these times.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Yeah, so for any clients out there, you may have seen some activity in the last week, and that we're definitely trying to take those opportunities as they come up. Another opportunity that kind of comes up in this conversation is rebalancing. Do you want to talk about that, Ryan?
Oh, sure. Well, with rebalancing is, you know, it's another beneficial thing, kind of more of, again, kind of a tactical opportunity there, where we understand is, markets move around, your individual holdings might deviate from where your target allocation is. So for example, if we have stocks down, your you may have bond positions that are up. And so your target allocations tend to get a little bit out of whack. Maybe you're then underweight stocks, overweight bonds. So we can actually rebalance back to target at the lows, which means you're actually buying stocks at the lows, selling bonds at the high. And that can help enhance returns as markets recover. The same practice we do when markets are up. Sell stocks when they're high. That's the approach we want to do, right? We want to sell high, buy low, not the opposite.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and we love rebalancing. It's a little tricky to figure out when the right time to rebalance is. We've seen a lot of kind of plus or minus 2% and 3% days. It's usually too much. It's usually not worth it to kind of do it that frequently. But some of those bigger market movements, we can definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of watching your drift of positions in there and seeing how far out of whack that it might be.
Right. All right. Well, getting back to current events, we are definitely going to expect that we're going to continue to see some volatility, with some, potentially geopolitical things happening around the world. But also, there's still quite a bit of going on outside of the geopolitics. I think we're going to continue to see inflation run pretty high. Ryan, did you have some thoughts on inflation?
I come armed with good questions for you.
Oh, no.
So,
be clear, he said this before the podcast. He's like, I want to talk about inflation. And then he said where he got some numbers. And so now I think he's going to quiz me based on these numbers, and I haven't looked at it. So this could be a disaster.
This is in the notables in the February student of the market piece, if you look at those. But headline inflation breakdown, just some interesting numbers here. Looking across the headline inflation numbers, weighting by category of index, housing, food, medical care, transportation, education, apparel, recreation, and other. I'm not sure what all goes into other. But what do you think was the highest inflation change here, 12 month, year over year, ending the end of 2021?
And energy is not on there?
Energy is not a standalone here, no.
So transportation?
Yeah, good guess. I mean, far and above the other ones, 21%.
Oh my goodness. Every
year increase in transportation. Car and truck rentals represented the most, 36% increase. So kind of interesting stuff there.
Yeah, that would be totally my expectation. Transportation, car rentals, new cars, used cars, and also I would imagine that energy might be in that number too.
Yeah, I don't know why that's not broken out in here. I can tell you that one for sure. But this one I thought was interesting. Housing up 5%, led by lodging away from home, up 24%. So taking vacations costs a lot more.
Yeah. Is the restaurants on there?
Let's see, under food, they're saying specific category price change was led by meats, fish, poultry, and eggs, not restaurants specifically.
I know both curmudgeons, Ryan Moore and Eric Thomas, are both complaining about how much an IPA costs recently at our local pubs. So I'm surprised that IPA is not also on there.
Yeah, where's the beer inflation number? I don't see that.
What else? Anything else on inflation?
I mean, those were kind of the notable things. They interestingly enough, they called out on apparel, women's dresses were up 8%. So there you go.
So a couple of more kind of macro thoughts on inflation. It's been interesting to kind of hear economists, the problem with economists is they're always wrong, is that, their job is to look into the future and tell us what's going on. And that's such a hard thing to do. And it's been interesting to kind of try to understand when, a year or two ago, we're thinking about how inflation was quote unquote transitory. And now when we hear all of our leading economists talk, they're not using the T word anymore, because inflation has been more persistent than we had guessed and they had guessed. So as we think about the next couple months and the Federal Reserve, you know, there's a large expectation that the Federal Reserve will increase rates in March to try to begin to slow the inflation. And some of that geopolitical stuff that we were talking about earlier might have an effect on their ability to do so. So what will be interesting to see is how much volatility we see in overall markets based on all of that, and as the market reflects on that news as it comes out. So we totally expect that we're going to continue seeing some of that volatility based on all of that. And, you know, in the, you know, without all this geopolitical stuff, most economists still think that getting inflation under control is definitely within the realm, and it will occur in the next couple of years. But again, economists are always wrong. So we'll see what that actually looks like. Ryan, any thoughts on any of that?
I think our takeaway remains the same in general. Stay invested, keep regularly investing. It's the right thing to do over the long run.
Yeah.
And ignore what's happening from a noise perspective every day.
We almost did it. We almost got through this entire recording without using the D word, but I'm going to do it right now. And keeping a well-diversified portfolio. Diversification is the only free lunch, right?
There you go. And it's been beneficial this year, no doubt.
All right, so a little bit of brevity. We were talking a lot about different volatility markets, all this stuff this week, and we had a lovely client ask us what our favorite taco place is. I think on our website, we actually talk about tacos and how Ryan and I both love tacos. Tacos and IPA, I don't think there's anything better in the world. So Ryan, talk to us about tacos. What's your thought on that, on the current state?
You know that old question of, if you ever got stuck on a desert island out in the middle of the ocean, you could pick one food to have the rest of your life. Mine was always tacos. So I do love tacos, and I'm actually somewhat disappointed in myself that I don't have like this standout taco place to bring up. But what's funny is we watched a lot of the Olympics this year, and we watched it on the Peacock app, and this commercial kept coming on over and over again from Rivermark Community Credit Union. And they were referencing Tight Tacos here in Portland. So I feel like I need to go there now and see what that's all about. Porque No is always good here in town. It's been a while since I've been there. Otherwise, I do like Que Pasa Cantina for just good Mexican food, not really a taco joint. So that's the best I got right now.
I am a stickler. As a lot of us know, I eat mostly a vegetarian diet, but an El Pastor taco on a homemade tortilla is my jam. That is my island food as well. there's a new taco place that opened up right near my house. It's my favorite kind of taco, which is in super divey. You don't know if you should be eating it, but they do have homemade tortillas, and they make a great El Pastor taco with a little bit of pineapple on it. And that's my favorite new taco place. I'm not going to try to say how it's pronounced because all of my friends who speak Spanish will yell at me. So you'll have to run there with me to experience and actually help me pronounce how to say it.
Everyone just email Eric and ask him.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great weekend, Ryan. And for everybody else out there listening, I hope you have a good week. Stay the course. There's a reason we have a plan, and you know, there's also a reason why we feel the way we do, and it's totally natural, and we're here for you. So if you need anything, Ryan and I would love to take a call or hop on a quick Zoom and talk about this or tacos.
There you go. Go enjoy the sunshine.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Clarity Capital Management LLC is a registered investment advisor in the state of Oregon. The views expressed in this recording are that of the participants on the date of the recording and do not necessarily reflect the views of Clarity Capital Management itself. Nothing contained in this recording should constitute investment, tax, legal, or other advice and should not be viewed as a current or past recommendation or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Advisory services are only offered to clients where our firm and representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by our firm unless a client service agreement is in place. Information in this recording is based on current market conditions, which will fluctuate and may be superseded by subsequent market events or for other reasons. Clarity Capital Management does not assume any duty to update forward-looking statements. The information in this recording has been developed internally and with sources deemed to be reliable and makes no representation or warranty expressed or implied is made or given by or on behalf of Clarity Capital Management as to the accuracy, fairness, or completeness in the information contained in this recording. Any liability as a result of this recording, including direct, indirect, special, or consequential loss damage, is expressly disclaimed. Copyright Clarity Capital Management, LLC, all rights reserved.